Good morning. I'll be reading from Acts 2:41-47. Acts 2:41-47. If you want to follow along. So they all had received his word and were baptized at that day, and they were added about 3,000 souls. They were constantly devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking bread and to prayer. Everyone had kept a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the prophets, apostles. And they all were believed and were together, all and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and went possessions and went sharing them with all, which all as anyone might have needed. Day by day, continue one mind and in the temple, breaking bread and from house to house. They were taking meals together with gladness and sincerity from heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added their chambers day by day, and they all went and they have been saved. Thank you for the reading of the word this morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good and so wonderful to be here once again and to be able to worship together. I was looking outside and it's a very wonderful and beautiful Sabbath day. Everybody is with the expectation with spring. Spring is already here. The only thing is that we do not have spring weather. But it's already here. We're just hoping that sometime very soon the weather will begin to be like spring. And I know that everybody is really looking forward for that day. I think I want to be a little closer to you all, so I'm going to use this. If you all would permit me. To be in God's church and to be able to worship together is one of the most wonderful things. And I think that Sabbath days are very special days for us. It's the day in which we can remember our Creator. It's the day that we can remember that this world was made in 7 days, 6 plus 1, okay? 6 plus 1, because creation really did finish in 6 days. But there was one more day that God knew we were going to need. And that's the reason why He made the 7-day Sabbath. And that's the reason why we are here today, honoring Him and remembering Him as our Creator. I would like to dedicate a few minutes today to speak about something that I believe is very important for the church in these last days. Spirituality. Do you all believe that spirituality is needed and is essential in our lives today? Yes, I do. I do think so. We need to grow spiritually every day. But I think that more than spirituality, we need to be passionate about our spirituality. We need to be passionate about our spirituality. I would like to begin this morning by giving you some data, which I believe would be very, very important for what we want to speak about today. Listen to this. Each second, 4 babies are born in the entire world. Each second, 4 babies are born in the world today. But 2 people die every second. So if 4 are born and 2 die, that means that our world is still growing. Okay? Our world is still growing. The population of the world is growing 2 people per second. In other words, 2 people per second. Which would mean 1 million people every 6 days. Got that? 1 million people every 6 days. Or 60 million people every year. That's the rate and the fastness with which our world is growing. Now, there's a passage in the Bible that says that Jesus will return again whenever what? No? No? That's it. There's a passage in the Bible that says that Jesus will return whenever the gospel is preached to the entire world. 60 new people in the world every year. Will it be easy to preach the gospel to the entire world? With the fastness with which our world is growing, how will God's gospel be preached with a rhythm of global growth that is so fast? It really makes us think a lot, huh? How will the preaching of the gospel be done? Let us be realistic. Let us be realistic. As human beings, this will never be a reality. The gospel being preached to the entire world, humanly speaking, I believe this is impossible. Okay, are you listening to what I'm saying? Humanly speaking, it seems very, very impossible. There is no real way in which God's chosen people would be able to fulfill this mission, this Bible command. It's impossible. So, does that mean that God's word is false? Does it mean that God's word is false? That the gospel shall be preached to the entire world and then the end will come? Is that verse false with what I've just mentioned? If it is not false, then how will it be done? With God, everything is possible. Wow. With God, everything is possible. Do you all believe what you are telling me?
Yes.
That with God, everything is possible. Or we repeat it because we have heard it being repeated time and time again. Or do we sincerely believe what we are saying? Let's go to the book of Zechariah. Okay, let's go to the book of Zechariah. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Humanly speaking, this is not possible. But let us see what God's prophet has to tell us. Zechariah, chapter 4 and verse 6. We have it? Not yet? Okay. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It's one of the last books of the Old Testament. Very, very close to Malachi. Chapter 4 and verse 6. And it says, "So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.'" You got that verse very clear? Not by what? By might, nor by power, but by my spirit. And who said that?
God.
The Lord Almighty. God Almighty. He is the one that has said this. Remember I mentioned, humanly speaking, it will not be possible. At the rhythm and at the rate with which our church, in the rate with which the world is growing, it won't be possible. Humanly speaking. And that's why he does emphasize in the verse, and it says, not by might, nor by what?
Power.
In other words, human beings will not be able to do it. By their own. But he goes on and he says, but by my spirit, it's possible. Now, if we need the Holy Spirit for this to be a reality, there is something very important that I need to mention now. And it is the following. Angels, that's inspired by Ellen White, angels have requested to the Lord to come to this world to preach and to give the news of salvation. But the Lord has detained the angels and have said, that's not your work. Whose work is that then? I want a different word. Whose work is that?
Mine.
Correct. Ours is too much people. Everybody hides behind the hours. It's my duty. It's my responsibility. Do you want to repeat with me? It's my duty. It's my responsibility. Now, if it's my duty, and if it's my responsibility, and if it's not by might or by power, and if it's only through the Holy Spirit, what does that mean for me? I need to do what? To be filled with what? With the Holy Spirit in my life. That's the reason why the title of my sermon today. We need a passionate spirituality to take control of our lives. We need it. It's necessary. It's indispensable for this work to be done with enthusiasm, because only the Holy Spirit of God can fill our lives with passion and with enthusiasm. I'm a simple preacher. I cannot do it. I cannot do it. It's God alone that can do it through His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But in order for the Holy Spirit to come to my life, I need to be opened to God.
Amen.
And want to be used by Him, by His Spirit, so that the work could be done.
Amen.
You know why? Because the Lord will never give the Holy Spirit to someone that does not want it. Because God never does anything by force. He never obligates anybody. Whatever God does in my life is because I'm willing for Him to do it. And I'm willing to open my heart so that He can work in my life so that things can happen through me. Today, I want to share with you three important things that will help us to have a passionate spirituality. Okay? And I will concentrate in those three things in the remainder of time that I have. Until what time do I have? It's 15 to 12.
As much as you want.
As much as I want? Yeah. Ooh, remember the last time I said that's dangerous. As much as I want, we can go till 2 or 3.
That'll work.
That will work?
Yeah.
Or you'll leave me here by myself?
No, I ain't got no work.
Okay. We want to see three things today. Three things. Number one. My spirituality has to be based in God's Word.
Amen.
That's the first thing I'm going to emphasize today. The second, my spirituality has to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Okay, my spirituality has to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And number three, my spirituality has to be focused in this world that is perishing. Okay, my spirituality has to be focused in this world that is perishing. Okay, let me repeat again. Number one. My spirituality has to be based in God's Word.
Amen.
Number two, my spirituality has to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And number three, my spirituality has to be focused in this world that is perishing. So let's find these three things by going to the past and seeing the early primitive church. Okay, we will take as an example for us today the early primitive church. Okay? And that's the reason of our scripture reading. Our scripture reading today was based on the early spirit, primitive church. So we're going to take a look at them. Number one, the early church in Paul's day and in the days of the apostles after Christ had risen to heaven, that early church grew in numbers, in quantity, because their spirituality guided them to be fervent students of the Bible. Okay? Their spirituality became so passionate that they didn't want to do many things. They wanted to do few things, but important things. And one of them, the first one, they were guided to be fervent students of God's Word. Remember that even before the Holy Spirit descended upon them, they took time to be alone, praying and studying God's Word. You remember that?
Amen.
They were praying and studying God's Word, searching their hearts, and searching and studying fervently God's Word. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. And let us read verse 42. chapter 2 and verse 42. Okay, and it says, let's go, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And it says, they, speaking about whom? The disciples, the apostles. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to what? And to prayer. They devoted themselves, the early church devoted itself to the preaching and the teaching of the apostles. What did the apostles teach them about? About Jesus. The gospel. The apostles had spent 3 entire years with whom?
Jesus.
With Christ.
Right.
They had learned from their master. They had the Old Testament with them. Yes or no?
Yes.
And their teachings were based in the Word of God. And it says that the primitive, the early church devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles. So they really dedicated time to what? To study the Word of God. And at the same time, the end of the verse says, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to what? And to prayer. So there were two important things that the primitive church was doing. They were studying the Bible and they were what?
Praying.
We cannot expect to have a passionate spirituality without the study of God's Word and prayer.
Amen.
We cannot expect this to happen. Do we want our lives to be powerful lives for God? I know we want. This is the first secret. You want your life to be powerful. Number one, you need to be fervent in studying God's word and in
prayer.
It's essential. It's a must. And it says that they persevered. Some versions mention that word. They persevered in the teaching of the apostles and in prayer. And persevere means that they were firm, they were constant, they were always, they were permanently doing it. In other words, my study of God's word has to be a must constantly. I do not take the Bible and study it today and then I forget it and then take it until 2 weeks afterwards? How do I pretend to have a passionate spirituality if I don't take time to search the scriptures?
Amen.
I'm not a prophet. I don't pretend to be a prophet. But let me tell you something. I'm almost sure that there's a quantity of members here that are not studying their Bibles the way they should. We're not searching the scriptures the way we should.
Amen.
We're not taking enough time to what?
Prayer.
To pray. We know that prayer is what gives us fortress, spiritually speaking. Nevertheless, God's church today is not praying the way we should really be praying.
Amen.
Gospel Workers, page 249 says, listen to this. The Bible is the standard of our faith and doctrine. Wow. The Bible is the standard of our faith and doctrine. There is nothing more calculated to energize the mind and to strengthen the intellect than the study of the Word of God.
Amen.
Wow, that's powerful, eh?
Yes.
That's powerful. Let me read it again. There is nothing more calculated to energize the mind and to strengthen the intellect than the study of the Word of God. My father-in-law, let me see if I'm mistaken or if I'm right, just went to second grade. That's all the studies he had. That's all the education my father-in-law had. Second grade. But my father-in-law learned to read, to write, and to be a great man because he was fervent in studying the Word of God. It was through the Word of God that he learned to read and to write. And it says it here. There is nothing more calculated to energize the mind and to strengthen the intellect than the study of God's Word. And it continues saying, if God's Word were studied as it should be, men would have a breadth of mind, a nobility of character, a stability of purpose that are rarely seen in these times. Wow. If we would be more fervent students of God's Word, we would have a breadth of mind, a nobility of character, and a stability of purpose that are rarely seen in these times. You know, I've heard many people say, oh, everybody says that I have an ugly character. But that's the way I am. That's the way God made me. God didn't make you that way. It was sin that made you that way. But you know something? The ugliness in our characters could change. And it changes through the study of what?
Word.
Of God's Word. Transformation takes place in our lives when we go deep in the Word of God. What was is no longer. What I did no longer happens because there's a change in my life through the Word of God. But it's not only change. There is power in my life because the Holy Spirit is with me when I am a fervent student of God's Word. So my spirituality becomes passionate whenever I am a fervent student of what? Of God's Word and in prayer. I have several other quotations that I can read, but probably we don't have enough time. Let me read one more. Gospel Workers, page 118, says, those that work for God should learn on a daily basis the meaning of surrendering self. God's Word should be studied, and its meaning should be learned, and its precepts should be obeyed. That's the only way that Christian excellence could be reached. The only way that Christian excellence could be reached is through the study of what? Of God's Word. Christian excellence will be obtained through the study of God's Word. It's impossible to finish the preaching of God's Word to the entire world by our own. But through His Spirit, everything is possible. But for that to happen, my spirituality has to become a passionate one. And my spirituality is only passionate when I take enough time to be fervent in the study of God's Word and in what? And in prayer. Let's go to number two now. Number two. The early church had a passionate spirituality because they based their numerical growth in the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, conversions and people that were added to the primitive church was not because of their own ability. It was because they were used by the Spirit of God. In other words, the primitive church, the members, I should say it this way, the members of the primitive church were only instruments in the hands of the Holy Spirit. They were only instruments in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Let's read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And let's see what we find there. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Amen.
What happened?
Amen.
With them? They were what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. But let's go back to number one. Before being filled with the Holy Spirit, they had to dedicate time to study God's word fervently and to pray. And I will add something that I didn't say at the beginning. They had to be in unity. They had to be united. They had to be in one accord. Whenever that happened, that they studied God's word, that they prayed fervently, that they were united, gathered in one place, then what happened? The outpouring of what? Of the Holy Spirit came to their lives. And it was like little tongues of fire that rested upon each one of them. And you know, there's something amazing. Let's say that you and I were there. I was not able to see the little tongue of fire that rested. Let me see if you are with me. I was not able to see the little tongue of fire that rested on me. I was just able to see the little tongue of fire that rested in you. You see, whenever the Holy Spirit of God comes to my life, I sometimes don't even know that it's happening. What happens is the results that I begin to see in my life. Because if we read diligently the verses that continue, we will find what began to happen when they were filled by the Holy Spirit. Let me read just a short quotation so that you all can see. The coming of the counselor. This is not an inspired book by Ellen White. Many people believe that this book was written by Ellen White. This book was not really written by Ellen White. Okay? And it says, Pentecost brought a new obligation and a new conviction. A great work of personal evangelism was spread in Jerusalem. The disciples went everywhere preaching the word of God. And if you look at Acts chapter 2, you will see what happened after the Holy Spirit came to the lives of those individuals. You want to see it? You want us to read it? Yes, you want us to read it? Or it's okay? No, let's read it. Oh, if you had told me, no, let's... I was still going to read it. Because you need to know it. It's not my word, it's the word of God.
Amen.
And I need to preach the word of God.
Amen.
Okay, let's go. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Let's see what Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says. What happened after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the early Christian church? What happened? Verse 41, I said. Okay. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. In one day. After they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they went out to preach with power, because the power did not consist on them. The power came to their lives because they were filled with what? With the Holy Spirit. And after the preaching of God's word that day, about how many were baptized?
3,000.
In one
day.
Yes. But pastor, that was then. That can't happen now. Don't you see how long we have been preaching in Lancaster and nothing much is happening? Let me tell you something. The same Holy Spirit that descended at Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that you and I have today.
Amen.
He has not lost power yet. Or has he?
No. No.
You know, the problem is not the Holy Spirit. The problem are the vases that the Holy Spirit wants to use. Silence, huh? The problem is not in the Holy Spirit. The problem is in me. That probably I'm not opening my life and my heart to the willingness of the Holy Spirit to be able to use me the way He wants to use me. Let's go chapter 4 and verse 4. Okay, let's go to chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's see what it says. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Only men. What about the women? And you know, reality shows now that women accept more than men.
Yes. Amen.
Almost every church I go to, I find more women than men. Okay? Now, but that's not all. Let's go to chapter 5 and verse 14. Chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Okay, more and more people were added. Let's go now to chapter 6 and verse 7. Chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, so the word of God spread. The number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So not only common people did accept the message of salvation, also a great number of what? Of priests. And who were the priests? They were doctors of the law. They were highly prepared in the study of this book. But they have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior. You remember? They had not accepted Him. But now, when the disciples were preaching, filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens? Even priests believe. 3,000, 5,000, many were added. Even priests were added to the young church that had just begun. My beloved, if my spirituality is a passionate spirituality, and I permit God to use me the way He wants to use me, many things will happen through my life. Remember, I am only an instrument in God's hand. Don't forget that. I am not the one doing the work. It's the Holy Spirit working through me. You get it? It's the Holy Spirit working through me. Words are given to me. Now, but how will the words be given to me if I don't take time to study the Word of God? You see how they are combined, one with the other? How will I be able to speak about the Word of God if I don't study the Word of God? If I don't take time to commune with God through prayer? God will give me the necessary words in the time of need, according to the time I spend in communion with Him. That's the way the Lord is going to use me. Beloved, it's so wonderful to see what God wants to do with us. I have two little quotations that I want to share that I believe they are very important, and I just don't want to go ahead without mentioning them. This one says, "The Holy Spirit is all the equipment that the church needs." You got that one? The Holy Spirit is all the equipment that the church needs. During apostolic times, it was enough for 120 members, because that's all the church then, 120 members. That's what the Bible says. And it says, during the apostolic times, it was enough for 120 members filled with the Holy Spirit for the message to spread more than what it has from then until our days, even though we have multiple facilities today. Therefore, we don't only reach to the inevitable conclusion that the remnant church is lacking the promised Holy Spirit, but that it needs it supremely to enable her to carry out its final task. Now, listen to this. Why so little fruit from an army so big today? Okay, that's speaking to whom now? Who is that speaking to now? To me. It's speaking to me. Listen to this. Why so little fruit from an army so big? And here is the answer. Because our relationship with the Holy Spirit is highly unknown. Wow. It's highly unknown. Where are the men filled with the Holy Spirit as they were in the apostolic days? Where are those men and women? Where are they? Where are we? But that's not all. We run the serious risk of depending upon men, methods, and money instead of depending upon the only one that can lift, direct, vitalize, and equip us with the correct methods, producing the blessing that we could receive from Him. On many occasions, we want to depend on what? On us. On our capabilities. On our capacities. On our methods. On our money to do the Word of God. And it says it's not that. We need to open our lives and permit the Holy Spirit of God to come and to use us as His instruments. Let's go to the last one now. The early Christian church had a passionate spirituality because their growth was focused in those that were perishing. Okay? They were focused in those that were perishing. My question today is, as a believer of God's church today, as a member of the Lancaster church today, where is your focus? Where are you focusing? Are you focusing only those that are within these walls? I will say something that might sound a little hard. Those that are already in here don't need so much. We won't invite you to come again, Pastor. That's too hard. Those that are already inside of these walls do not need too much. You know who really need right now? Those that are still not here. They are the ones that need. No matter who they are. No matter who they are. But they are the ones that really need. And that was what made the difference with those members of the early church. Their passionate spirituality was focused on those that were perishing. They were the ones that needed the good news of salvation. Yes or no?
Yes.
They were the ones that needed the good news of salvation. And I would want to ask, in our neighborhoods, in our surroundings, are there people that still need to know about the love of Christ before it's too late? Are there people? Yes, there are. There are many, there are hundreds, and probably there are thousands that still need to know about the love of Christ. So we need to focus our eyes on them. We need to focus our eyes on them. How many problems and difficulties many of them have today. Maybe many of them have lost loved ones. Probably many of them are without a job or without work. Probably many of them are in drugs. Probably many of them are with alcohol problems. Probably many women out there are prostitutes. Are we caring for those type of people? Do they need to be focused upon? Yes, we need to focus on them. But it could be your uncle. It could be your aunt. It could be your mom. It could be your dad. It could be your co-worker. It could be somebody studying at the university with you. And no matter who it is, if they still do not know Christ the way you know Him, it is my responsibility to focus upon them. Because the primitive church focused themselves on those individuals. Let me just mention a few things here. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, and we are just coming to an end now. Verse 47. What were they doing? Verse 47 says, praising God and enjoying the favor of whom? Of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What does it say? Let's read it again. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. In other words, let me put it as a question. What do you believe the people of our communities around here think about us? What do you think they think about us? Do they think that we are kind, that we are gracious, that we are interested in them? Does this church mean something to this community? Let me put it this way. What do you think would be the reaction of this community if tomorrow the doors of this church was to close forever and Seventh-day Adventists in this community would disappear? What do you think would be the reaction of the community? Huh? The community would be upset. I hope that's the reality. Yeah. I really hope that's it. Because that's the way it should be. The community should feel that if we would disappear, that something was grabbed away from their hearts. That's the way it should be. In other words, this community should have a high esteem for each and every one of us. They should respect us. They should see in us Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, they should see in us Jesus Christ. The primitive church, their zeal and their fervor made them to be liked and to be respected by the people. They had attracted people in such a way that could only happen when we put trust in the Lord. And you heard what the results were. Verse 47, what does it say? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Could you imagine having baptisms every day in the Lancaster church? Wow. Could you imagine having baptisms every... To begin with, how many days in the week do we meet here? But the primitive church had baptisms every day. That's what the Bible says. They were added what? Daily. That was a spectacular church. I want to ask a question to come as I come to an end. Would we want to be at least at 25% like the primitive church? How many would like to be at least 25% of what the primitive church was? How many would really want to be? At least 25%. Do you know what would begin to happen in our church if we would at least be 25% of what they really were? Three things. One, I need to ask the Lord to begin to transform my life by being very, very fervent in what? In the study of His Word and in what?
Prayer.
And in prayer. More prayer. Now, I haven't asked, and I will not ask, and I don't want anybody to tell me. Do you all still have at least prayer meetings during the week? Don't answer. I don't want to hear. I just hope yes. Because individual prayers are good. But community prayers are also important. Time to pray together as a church family. That's what the apostolic church did before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be fervent in the study of God's word and prayer. And number two, we need to be filled by what? By the Holy Spirit. And third of all, we need to focus on whom? On the world. We need to focus on the community. And maybe I did sound a little harsh when I mentioned those that are already in these walls, they might not need that much. And I keep up to my word. Those that are not within these walls need much more than us. Yes or no? Yes. They need much more than us. That's what I want to say when I mention this. They need much more of us. I just pray to God. And I say, Lord, help us. Help me. So that something could begin to happen in my life. And that my spirituality could be a passionate one for your honor and your glory. Because only if I am filled with your Holy Spirit and I'm used as an instrument, will the preaching of the gospel finish in the entire world, and then the end will come. Remember that. Until the preaching of the gospel is not given to the entire world, Jesus will not come. So there's a task to fulfill. May we become instruments in the hands of God. How many would like to say, I want to be an instrument in God's hand? I will use my talent. What talent I have, I don't know. But whatever talent God has given us, let us use it for the honor and glory of God and the preaching of His gospel. Why don't we stand to pray together as we end today? Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful because of your word. I'm so thankful, God, because of inspiration through your servant. Father, as we get closer and closer to your second coming, there is a task that needs to be done. Father, give us not only the desire, but help us, God, to become strong students of your word, that we may search diligently your word. May we dedicate enough time to commune with you through prayer. May we not only speak to you, but may we be able to listen to you speaking to us. Father, help us to keep united as one body, as one church. And permit, God, that our hearts would be able to be opened so that we would be able to be filled by your Holy Spirit. Yes. We need that Spirit in our lives. Because we need to be instruments for those that still do not love you. And God, may our spirituality be focused upon those that are still out there. Oh Father, how many are suffering? How many have problems? How many have difficulties? How many are crying in their hearts? They want something better. But there's nobody to share the love of Christ to them. Use us as instruments in your hands, O God. May your will be done through us. We pray in the loving name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Okay, our closing song, I think, is through a DVD, right? Yeah, I think lights are already off because of that, right?
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world wherever we roam. Ancient words will guide. ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, oh, let the ancient words in. Sacrifice, oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient
just hope that the words of this song have been a reality for us today, that we have come to God's church with open hearts. Amen. Willing to do what God's word wants us to do. Amen. Willing to do what Christ wants us to do. So wonderful words of that song. Father, thank you once again for your blessings. Thank you once again for speaking to us. Father, may we be willing to be used as your instruments. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
if you